staying with healthcare now and the arguments before the Supreme Court that begin today, it will be all legalisms and relatively little economics in the Supreme Court today, as the court will hear arguments over the many challenges to the Federal Health Care Act of 2010. The language in the court will perhaps be more sophisticated than the brawl over the act, you may have heard it, being conducted in the 2012 political campaign. The question of whether the health care law Mitt Romney helped engineer in Massachusetts is just like the Obama health care plan is a raging argument in the GOP, has been for months. One question not at issue, though, is that at least one MIT economist advised both the Romney effort and the Obama initiative. And he joins us today. Jonathan Gruber joins us from his home in Lexington, Massachusetts. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. Good to be here.
So you're a smart guy. You advised both of these folks. Does that constitute an enormous mistake on your part in your career, or does the model that you came up with really stand the test of bipartisan politics here?
I think it was one of the best things I ever did to get to advise both of them. It really, you know, Governor Romney had a vision for health care reform that was really based fundamentally on conservative principles, but with really what was sort of a liberal goal, which is to get to universal health insurance coverage. You know, the conservative principles it was based on were the individual mandate, which is a conservative idea, and the use of health insurance exchanges to promote competition among insurers, but with the idea of using government to get to universal coverage. And I think it was a wonderful mix of bringing the best ideas from the left and the right together, so wonderful that, in fact, President Obama adopted it and it became the basis for the Affordable Care Act.
Now, what did you come up with that was so attractive to both of these camps here? And let's just say for the moment that Obama was probably attracted by what seemed to be the success of the Massachusetts plan. But from your standpoint, what was the most attractive piece of the analysis that you did coming up with an economic model here?
Well, I mean, let's be clear. What I really did, you know, the model was fundamentally Romney's. I mean, the basic idea that Romney had was the idea of using, you know, getting to broad participation in the health insurance marketplace, getting people who could afford to buy insurance to buy it. Really, my contribution was putting together the numbers. That's how sort of a nerd like me gets in the conversation. And basically saying, look, you want to get to universal coverage. You can't get there without an individual mandate. Moreover, an individual mandate makes your law more efficient because you cover a lot of people, but you don't spend a lot of money because you're just bringing healthy people in. So I think he sort of had a philosophical inclination towards the individual mandate, which was, as I said, really a conservative idea. I guess my contribution was just sort of putting the numbers to it that showed that that idea made sense. And then in terms of Obama, really my contribution was the fact that Massachusetts works so well. I was also on the board that implemented the law in Massachusetts, and we did a lot of hard work to make sure it rolled out well and implemented well. And I think once it did, it became a really clear model for Obama to follow.
Jonathan Gruber is an MIT economist who helped advise both Mitt Romney and the Obama administration on their health care reform initiatives. All right, let's ask an economics question. Nationally speaking, based on your models, what is the cost of not having an individual mandate, and what are the projected savings or foregone costs, I guess, if there is an individual mandate, as is in the 2010 Act?
So basically, there's three things we know if you don't have a mandate. The first thing we know is the law is less effective. Almost everyone estimates you cover about half the uninsured or fewer that you get with a mandate. So the law is only about half as effective. The second thing we know is that the law is actually not that much more efficient, which is that even though you only cover about half the uninsured, you still spend about three quarters as much. So you really, and that's because the sick still sign up. It's just the healthy that don't. So basically, you end up spending almost as much to get much less coverage. And the final thing you know is that the law's effects become much more uncertain. There's been a number of estimates of the law's effects without the mandate, and they're much more widely varying than the estimates of the effects with the mandate. And I think things just become a lot more uncertain when you get rid of the mandate. So mandate gives you effectiveness, it gives you certainty, and it gives you efficiency relative to the alternative.
So straight from the mouth of the MIT professor who helped design the economic model, with the mandate, things are clearer. Without the mandate, things are much less clear. What do you make, then, of this political rhetoric over whether Mitt Romney is a conservative or a liberal, or whether Obamacare is socialism? I mean, the level of discourse on this act doesn't really match the kind of economics you just described.
You know, this is a very, very complicated topic. In fact, I just wrote a comic book to try to explain it more clearly called Healthcare Reform.
Oh, that'll help.
And The reason I did so was because this is an incredibly complicated topic. I think everyone needs to recognize that. And unfortunately, in today's political environment, if something takes two sentences to explain, it can be shouted down by a one-sentence lie. And I think that basically the public needs to take the time to understand what's in this law and appreciate that it's not socialism. In fact, if anything, this law massively expands private health insurance. There's about a 20 million person increase projected in private health insurance coverage. It's both conservative and liberal. The individual mandate's a conservative idea, but the use of government regulation to expand health insurance coverage is a liberal idea. And it's really sort of a balance between both parties' interests, or at least traditionally were both parties' interests. It's just unfortunately the minute President Obama adopted it, suddenly Republicans ran away from it.
So is your graphic novel a kind of a nerdy explainer thing, or is it more like, or will it actually match up with the Rick Santorum's scary Obamaville video that he just released?
I haven't seen his video, but I do. It's sort of a mix. I try to use facts and explain it clearly, but I also have monsters representing the myths that I destroy and show you why all the myths about Obamacare are wrong. So I think it's a good read if anyone's interested in really understanding what's in this law.
Did you get an academic grant to do the graphic novel, or is this something you're just doing on your own?
I just did it on my own. The publisher approached me and brought in an illustrator, and I just I did it on my own.
That's fantastic. What's the title? We'll link to the artwork.
Awesome. Yeah. The book is called The Healthcare Reform, What It Is, Why It Happened, and it's available on Amazon.com.
Don't you think, like, Skeletor Defeats Healthcare would be a better title?
No, I do not think that. I like Healthcare Defeats Skeletor is a much better title.
Nice. Jonathan Gruber, MIT economist who helped draft Massachusetts and the national healthcare reform laws using his economic models. Thanks so much, Jonathan.
You bet. Take it easy.
And we will post links to so you can find out more about that graphic novel. And we'd love to hear what you have to say about an individual mandate. How does it affect you personally? 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.